You know, I found the cover to this this bulletin and a bunch of bridge pictures that I found. And I said, this is a burning bridge. Is it kind of like the burning bush that's in the Exodus chapter 3? Is it not consumed? Or what is this that we have here? And I wonder, how many BTUs does a burning bridge put off? Anyway, we're going to be talking about bridges we burn today. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you speak to each of us today, and I know that sometimes there are places in our lives where we need to do things, and you sometimes point them out to us, sometimes we figure them out on our own, but I ask that you show us what those places, if there's someone here that needs to hear this, in Jesus' name, amen. This is the second one I'm doing on bridges, and I just took that as an image. Last week, we looked at bridges that we brave, and they are, in other words, those are bridges we cross in our lives where we really have to be courageous in order just to move across them. And we looked at the land bridge that God gave his people when they were coming out of Egypt, when he parted the Red Sea, and the people came across on dry ground. He parted that Red Sea. They walked across on a land bridge, you might say. And you have to be brave, though, to walk through that kind of miracle with all that water piled up on both sides, you know. In our lives, there are miracles that we have to walk through that are in some ways terrifying to us, like crossing a bridge that is frightening. Today, I want to look at bridges that we burn. Actually, sometimes we have to blow them up. We don't burn them. A scene from the bridge on the River Kwai, and many of you are much too young to have remembered that movie, but that guy that said, what have I done, he had helped the enemy build that bridge. And sometimes we do that with our lives. We help the enemy, and when he fell on the device that exploded the bridge, by the way, for those of you who are Star Wars fans, in the original Star Wars movie, that was Obi-Wan Kenobi. And if you don't burn them, or if you don't blow them up, sometimes we just have to cut them down.
You want the stones? Let them go! Let her go!
Shorty! Chao Chi! Latsu Tanza!
Hang on, lady, we're going for a ride!
Oh! Put out of the way!
sometimes you have to do drastic things when you're caught between the enemy. In both of these movies, we see an illustration of destroying bridges to stop an enemy from bringing about death or destruction. Last week, I used a clip from the movie The Ten Commandments to show you that land bridge that God created through the Red Sea so that the people could cross over into the wilderness of Sinai and escape Pharaoh and his army. I have one more clip from The Ten Commandments where God then closes the bridge in the Red Sea and drowns out the enemy.
Better to serve the Egyptians than to die here.
Who shall withstand the power of God?
God drowns, brings down that bridge that he used to save his people in that movie, and he cuts off their past forever. Burning bridges is something that we all need to do at times. Sometimes there are situations or circumstances, relationships, ways of thinking, lifestyles that we need to burn the bridge that leads back to that particular point in our lives. Sometimes leaders have to get rid of any possibility of retreat because the people or the army may want to leave when life gets rough. And in the year 1519, Cortez sailed with 600 Spaniards, 16 horses, and 11 boats and landed in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. They were after fortune and glory from the Aztec and the Mayans, but with only 600 men, conquering an empire was going to be a daunting task, to say the least, and Cortez was well aware of the impossible task, and instead of charging through cities and forcing his men into battle, he did something else. He preached to them. He gave fiery speeches designed to urge them on to gain fortune and glory, and his speeches did fire them up. But it was just three words that changed the history of the New World. As they got ready to march inland, he said, "Burn the boats." And what he did is he literally burned the bridge that would allow them to go back where they came from. It should have backfired, but it didn't. The men knew that they were left with only two choices. You either die or you ensure victory, and fight they did. Cortez basically burned their bridge back to Spain, and he successfully conquered Mexico. Sometimes we need to burn bridges so that there's no way back. Sometimes God burns bridges so that we can't go back. Burning boats is just another way of saying that we burn bridges. Alexander the Great did the same thing when he landed on the shores of Persia. He burned all the boats. Alexander committed his army to victory, even though the Persians far outnumbered the Greeks. And considering what Alexander was facing, the decision to destroy the Greeks' only hope of retreat was extraordinary, to say the least, but it proved to be the correct decision. In Sun Tzu's Art of War, burning boats was simply to remove any notion of retreat in the minds of the army they were committed to the cause. Defeat was not an option, so they burned their boats. Burning boats is just another way of saying they burned the bridges back from where they came from. They couldn't get back there. Burning bridges is also about commitment. In our lives, burning bridges is a highly significant option when it comes to our lives, and especially to our following Jesus with our lives. To Today, the picture I want to show you is the people of Israel after they left Egypt and their desires at the time to go back to Egypt. In the Bible, Egypt has always been a picture of the world, like the world we live in. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to the world where they had come from and where they had been slaves. They wanted to go back, even though God had closed the bridge on the Egyptians. One of the things that happens to us as Christians is very much the same thing. Sometimes we want to go back to the life that we had before we met Jesus. If God hadn't closed that bridge back to Egypt, they might have just done that, but that bridge was out of commission. And even so, they acted out much of what they wanted to do in going back to Egypt. They didn't have to go back into the world to be like the people of Egypt. You see, it's one thing for God to get the people out of Egypt. It is an entirely different thing to get Egypt out of the people. And the same is true for us. It's one thing for God to get you out of the world when we receive Jesus as our Savior and we begin that journey of making Him the Lord of our lives. But I tell you what, it is a lifelong struggle to get the world out of us and keep it out of us. That's why at some points in our lives we have to burn bridges that lead back to our former self. I have three scriptures that I've got in here. I want you to read with me 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 5. Now, Paul is talking here and he's referencing this incident in much the same way that I reference this incident in when they came out of Egypt. But he goes on to warn us that the things that happened to them are written down for our instruction. So let's read chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food and all drank the same supernatural drink. For they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, this is when he's referencing when they came through the sea and during those 40 years that they spent in the wilderness. And in the next scripture, he is actually covering three different times in the wilderness period that the people went after other gods. Let's read verses 6 to 11. Now these things are warnings for us, not to desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. We must not indulge in immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put the Lord to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, this is referencing some of their incidents that took place during the 40 years they were in the wilderness. God had closed the door back to their world, you might say, but their sinful nature is still with them. And one of the referenced incidents here in 1 Corinthians is in Exodus 32, verses 1 to 4. Let's read it together. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a molten calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Now, in the movie The Ten Commandments, These four verses are actually dramatized. So let me give you a visual experience of what was happening in Exodus chapter 32.
And the people sinned a great sin, for they had made them a god of gold. And they bore him upon their shoulders and rejoiced, saying, "This be our God, O Israel." They were as children who had lost their faith. They were perverse and crooked and rebellious against God. They did eat the bread of wickedness and drank the wine of violence. And they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the people cried, "The graven image hath brought us joy." And they worshipped the golden calf and sacrificed unto it.
Looks like Mardi Gras. Moses had disappeared for a few weeks, and kind of like when I go on vacation, when the cat's away, man, the mice will play. They decide to go after the world. In this case, they make this golden calf as their god. So the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, don't do what they did. Don't go after the stuff of the world. Just because God built a bridge and got the people out of Egypt doesn't mean that Egypt is out of the people. This happened to them as a warning for our instruction. That's what Paul said. The truth is, it is easy to go back into the world. It is easy to shallow out. It is easy to go after the gods of this world and forsake the Lord. These people forgot about what God had done for them, and then they remembered Egypt, but they forgot about all the bad stuff that they lived in Egypt. And the fact is, they were slaves in that world. They forgot this. Living for God is the pits, man, when you're out there in the wilderness, and it can be hard, and these people are just like you and me. It's God's way of saying you need to hear this because they are people who are just like you or just like me. Be forewarned. Just because you pass from death to life because of the action of God in your life providing you with a bridge to a new life doesn't mean you can't stumble and fall and go back into the world you came from. Even if God closes the bridge or you burn the bridge, doesn't mean that your heart is right in moving into a new life. I have plenty of examples of how we can fail because we keep a link with our past lives. I've done a lot of great banquets. And during those banquets, I have watched people start a new life, and some of them burn bridges to their past, but we have this old nature in us. Some want to go back to that previous life, and the truth be told, some people may burn the bridges, but they don't burn the boats, and they go back to their old lives and their old ways. Whenever I do a prison great banquet, either at the women's prison or the men's prison, somebody will always come up to me and ask me to pray for them because they're about to get out and they know the world that they're going back into is bad. And they don't want to go back to that world because that world, that way of life, is what helped destroy them in the first place in their lives. And those that come up, they at least know that the bad world is still out there and can destroy them again. When it comes to burning bridges in our lives, there are a couple words that always stick in my mind. And one of them is one we use in church all the time, so it gets bad press. It's the word repent. Now, repent really just means changing your mind. It might sound like this: the life I have been leading is killing me, and I need to change, and I need to live another way. That's basically what repentance is. In the church, we use it like this: my life without God is killing me. I'm going to return to my Father in heaven. Living life on my terms is killing me. I want God in my life because He has promised me life through His Son Jesus. Either way you say it, repentance is just changing your mind and going in a different direction. Now, there may be somebody here who needs to do just that. Repent. Change your thinking. Change your life. There's another word besides repent that oftentimes needs to be brought into our thinking along with changing our mind or the direction of our life. And that word is renounce. I think that it is when we burn the bridges in our lives, we renounce our former life. The word renounce for the alcoholic is no more alcohol. For the thief, it is no more stealing. For the adulterer, it means no more affairs. Keep your eyes on your own house. For the person who comes to know Jesus, it means saying no to the world a lot of the time. And it might be in little ways or it might be in big ways. And then saying yes to God. With these two words, what these two words, repent and renounce, mean to us are very important. It means we come to terms with a particular issue or we have no future or no destiny. Now, I'll give you a personal example of this. This happened between me and God. I was a pretty big smoker for 18 years. In 1983, God told me in no uncertain terms, he said, if I didn't quit smoking, it was going to cut my ministry short. Now, for those of you who have or are smokers, you know what it means when I say quit. Man, I didn't know if there was actually life after smoking. Well, God helped me do it in 1984, and that story has more details to it. But what I learned is I had to come to terms with that issue in my life, or my future was going to be clouded at best. I had to not only cross that bridge into a new time, repent, but I had to burn the bridge behind me, renounce what I'd been doing. We all come to points like this in our lives. It's the place where you choose. We don't like the stark confrontation, so we have just a tendency to step aside from the issues a lot of times, or we'll drift into a murkiness of thinking. I may be talking to somebody here today, I know it probably, and I'm right in your face right now. Well, let me tell you, it isn't me. I'm not right in your face. It's probably God that's in your face. It isn't me. I mean, your life isn't my life and death issue. I found that Father God is not always a Mr. Nice Guy, though, when it comes to life change in us. Sometimes he'll get right in your face. The pathway you are on right now may not kill you, but it can kill life in certain areas of your life. There are bridges we need to burn. We need to cut off that pathway. And if you don't commit to that repentance and the renouncing of it, which is burning the bridge, you may not have the possibility of a meaningful future in some area. The other thing I know is that if you don't burn that bridge, you can end up missing completely the promise of God's plan for your life. And by the way, it's not just about you either. What happens in your life, or my life for that matter, trickles down. It affects other people around us. What happens in my life affects Berta. It can affect my kids. I know it affects you as a congregation. Same goes for you. This may not be about sin either. This is not always a sin thing. It could be just about responsibilities where we just kind of let things slide in our lives. It might be about getting your house in order where things have gone to seed. That doesn't happen suddenly, by the way. It happens, it's a creep where we just kind of shallow out in our living. We shallow out in our job. We shallow out in our responsibilities. We shallow out in our relationships or our physical well-being. We shallow out in our spiritual life and maybe our attitudes. And, well, you can put your own circumstance in here as an example. And God may crowd us and say, you know, we need to burn that bridge to that part of your life because it is holding you in bondage. You are a slave to that part of your world. And God can crowd us and tell us, settle it. He says, settle it. I don't want you to miss the promise I have for you. These people who came out of Egypt saw the marvels of God's action on their behalf. I mean, they saw the miracles. Maybe you have too in your life, seen how God has worked in your life. These people gathered that God was the key to their life and freedom under his guidance. But in their hearts, Egypt was still in them. The world was still in them. And it caused them to sin, to lust after evil things, to become idolaters, sexual immorality, and just complain about their lives. They were never satisfied. They were never thankful, even though God took care of them. There's a place in our lives that is very much like the wilderness that these people spent 40 years living in. God may, in fact, save us from the death dealing of this world. But we haven't reached that promised destiny and fulfillment in our lives yet. We live in the middle someplace. It's kind of like the wilderness. We're no longer slaves to the world. We're no longer brickmakers in Egypt. But life seems to be just kind of the pits. It seems like a wilderness out there. Life was a whole lot spicier down in Egypt. And that's exactly what they said. Take us back to Egypt. All they got was the miracle. Living life had become mundane and boring and somewhat peaceful for the most part for them. But life also didn't seem to be as good as when they were down in Egypt, when they were in the world. The food was better. The spice of life seemed to be better. But I know this about all of us. We have selective memories. They forgot that they were slaves. They forgot the burdens that they carried. They forgot the humiliation and the life-threatening overlords and what they did to them. They forgot. And that's why we need to burn that bridge. We forget. We also forget what is out in front of us in the promised destiny that we have as well. When you're going through the wilderness time, sometimes you don't think about the promise that's out there. What some of us need, literally, is the fire of God in our hands. We need the fire of God and the light of his word to show us what bridges in our lives need to be burned. Because if we don't, we can be ruined because we go back over them. And then we need to apply the fire to burn the bridges to the past where we can get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. Let's burn the bridges that allow us to wander back into meaninglessness in terms of our lives in the world. And then we miss the glory of what God the Father has to offer to us as his people. There are certain bridges we all need to take a good look at. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we need to cut off the past forever. Sometimes we need to burn the bridges or the boats that have to do with our past. And so, Lord, give us discernment and also courage to do what we need to do in Jesus' name.